Hi, Brad.
Hey, Ryan, how are you this morning?
Fantastic. I'm fantastic. I'm quite excited about this article that you've just written, an old illustration for a new you. And wow, there's so much in here. I'd like to go deeper in some of the areas, but I don't even know where to start. Do you recall the article?
You know me, not really. I'd have to look at it.
Well,
I'll bet you, but
let
I
me
bet you if you start, I'll remember it.
refresh your memory then a bit. You start off with an illustration saying, "Hey, just practice using your imagination, and see yourself hitting your foot with a hammer."
Oh, yeah.
I had to confess, I laughed pretty hard when I first read that, and no, I didn't try it. Do you think any of our readers should try it?
No, per usual, I was just trying to make a point.
Yeah, well, I think you got the point across. I'm pretty sure that if anybody practiced that for a while, they may not feel the pain immediately, but definitely they'd wake up the next day feeling awfully sore. You know, there's so
Yeah,
many
they would.
examples. There's so many examples of the truth in this, and I believe that even athletes with coaches that are open have their athletes do deep meditation practices where they practice succeeding at their goals, running faster, jumping higher, you know, all that sort of thing is now commonplace in the world of athleticism. It's funny that it hasn't made it into everyday life, into corporate life, into religious and spiritual life. You're bringing it in, so thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, one of the things that, you know, always seems to get me when the story comes up that you brought up in the article was that the Lord came down and confused speech. And in previous articles you've kind of let it go and you've said, well, you know, maybe there was a good reason for that and who are we to question and so on and so forth. And you know, when I read your article, it seems that you might have changed your position a little bit and now you're questioning, well, who was that? You know, was it who's the Lord that came down and confused our speech? You have any thoughts around that?
Actually, that's always been my point.
Yeah. And so who do you think this guy is?
Well, I'm leaving it open. I'm not even going to speculate, but it seems to me that if you're going to say that God is in charge of everything, you need to always ask the question, which God? And the reason I say that, in that particular passage, along with some others, there's used a very, very interesting plurality. And it comes from the Hebrew word Elohim, which means many spirits making up the one God. And what they've done in English, the translators, in almost every English translation, use the word "let us go down." So whoever is speaking is directing a team, so to speak, of spirits to, hey, let's go down there and interfere with this because they're making what they're doing is we don't want. So who on earth is this us? Because that's what I'm making reference to.
Well, not only who is us, what's with the motivation of withholding? Because
Well,
that's what I get out of the story.
to me, this particular entity and group of entities seems bent on interfering with human communication. And to me, it was such a mind blower when I first stumbled on this passage. Wait a minute. No wonder all of us have such a problem communicating with each other. how many times have we all been in awe of, why on earth doesn't my wife understand me?
Yeah.
you know, there's been books written, men are from Mars and women are from Venus or vice versa. I forget how it goes, but the point being, in all of us, and good night, you put religion in the mix, and it really becomes a messed up mess. And all I've been pointing to in the past is, hey, look, those of you who believe that the Bible has something to say as far as truth is concerned, there it is, folks, right at the get-go. That's in the 11th chapter of the first book in the Christian Bible, Genesis, is pointing out that those who refer to God as the Lord are saying that the Lord is responsible for our screwed up human communication.
Well, you and I have definitely, you and I have definitely experienced that in conversations over the years, that's for sure.
Oh, what? The author and the publisher? No.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to tell you, I got really excited about the study with the shell-shocked soldiers. I actually haven't heard that story before, but I found it fascinating and extremely enriching to, you know, it lines up with so many things that I've heard, and it actually is really dovetailing in the direction that you seem to be going on the website. About the power of your imagination. It really works quite well in supporting your mental mastermind practice.
Yeah, doesn't it though? And I'm such a Johnny come lately to even allowing myself to do that. And yet it's been so beneficial. It's just an amazing thing to me. Imagine, Ryan, that you can sit in your own office or in your own room and have a discussion with 10 people who are so well revered. And while it's just imaginary, all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, this isn't imaginary. These guys really are all alive.
Yeah.
You know, and good night. When you have Jesus and as I affectionately call him, Sid, I can't imagine what a devout Buddhist would do with me saying that Siddhartha Gautama, who was a rich young ruler who became enlightened in a quest. He was an actual individual from India, and who is now revered as the Buddha. And I'm not denigrating him. I mean, he has said so many things that are so wonderful. For example, the one that I think I probably used in that article, doubt everything, find your own light. Did I put that in that article?
No, you put it in a previous one that we recently published. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. See, what happens to me is all these things bubble over. But it's just, I have nothing but the highest respect for Siddhartha Gautama. But I certainly wouldn't refer to him as Lord, but then I'm the same way about Jesus. I just have such a love and a respect for what the Christian Bible refers to in one place, the person as our elder brother spiritually, and how people have taken some of his words to mean things that to me he didn't mean at all. Which gets us right back to this whole problem with communication, language, words that we use. I offend people all the time without even trying. I really don't try. My own
it comes naturally for you.
It does. And my own wife says, you know, why are you doing this to me? You know, like, well, doing what? You make me angry. And I said, no, I didn't make you angry. I'll admit that I said something that triggered your anger, and I'm sorry about that. And if we can get to that, maybe I'll learn to curtail some of those remarks. You know, and I do this so habitually. It's terrible. It is a terrible. That's my own judgment of my own behavior related to some of the things I say and write without thinking. It's just unconscious. Am I trying to get attention? Well, apparently, because I don't quit it. You know, but when I reflect upon it, I don't want to do that. I love her. I mean, she's such a wonderful, extraordinary person. Why would I do anything to inflame her anger at me? Huh? Well, must be.
Because you're good at it.
Yeah, well, okay. Thanks. I do a pretty good job with you on occasion.
On occasion, yeah. You know, what I find interesting is that you're using it as a boost to extreme faith or to build as a faith-building exercise using your imagination. And I just want to take it in the opposite direction. Even if you don't use it in the context of any religion, the story of the soldiers suggests that it doesn't really matter whether you use it in a religious context, a spiritual context, any context. If you're seeking results, this is one method that worked for 50% of some suffering soldiers.
Yeah, no question about that. And thank you for saying that. I do tend to put everything in a religious context, and I know you've been trying to steer me away from that for how many years now?
Well, this is spiritual healing source, right? So it is the foundation of what we're trying to communicate, and it probably is what attracts people, is that perspective, that spiritual perspective. I'm not against it. I just wanted to make a point that whether it is within a spiritual context or not, it still produces results. And just like the suggestion I made at the beginning of our conversation about athletes using the same technique. You know, so.
Yeah, I'm thinking of I can't think of his name right now, but it doesn't make any difference, but great motivational speaker who changed several of the Los Angeles Lakers by getting them to identify with a word, whoosh, and seeing the basketball go through the hoop.
Yeah,
and he made one of the guys on that team. That was the dream team, I think they referred to it as. And it was one of the guards. I can't think of his name right now, but he became the premier 3-point shooter in the league.
Yeah.
From a guy who couldn't make 3-pointers.
Yeah,
you know, and it just, well, how? By imagination, by seeing the ball go through the hoop.
Right. So I wonder how we can use that to translate it for people looking for spiritual healing, or even in the example of the soldiers, mental healing. But in the form of people with actual physical maladies, I think studies have shown that 50% of them can benefit from seeing themselves perfectly healed.
Yeah, no question about it. In fact, it's just like, I have to say it. This whole mastermind concept, which I have rejected for years, I'm talking about 50 years, I rejected until just recently, and I rejected it on the basis of a religious predilection to the author of it, who was Napoleon Hill, in a book called Think and Grow Rich, came up with it, and he used Hitler as one of the people in his own mental mastermind.
Yeah.
And that just so turned me off. How could you do that? And it had some, I might have even been Jesus in his mastermind. I'm not sure, but it was just such a horror to me. And without I instead of being objective and looking at it, I just turned it off. And for whatever reason, I revisited it. I had studied that book, but when I got to that, I chucked it away. And from then on, forgot about it and forgot the concept. Here, this concept has been so fascinating for me and such a tool to use in my daily processes of thinking in business and in writing and personal relationships and all kinds of things. It's just like, imagine just running past something that's so valuable. And what you're saying now is just really bringing it to the fore. Hey, by the way, you're just telling me, I think I ended that article by saying I was going to write some more in that milieu, so to speak, and said something to the degree about, imagine what you could do if a crazy person could be made to do something normal, imagine what you, a normal person, could do by pretending he's crazy. Didn't I add that in there?
That's the last statement you made, yeah. But
how'd you like that?
That's my favorite sentence in the whole article. But the only thing that I want to make difference with in that statement is what makes you think anybody is crazy? Or sorry, normal. Right?
Well,
what's normal,
you know?
I have crazy behaviors in certain areas of my life that could really benefit from a good imagination.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, wow, good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we all
have
habits.
You know, I always go back to that because I worked with a psychiatrist in his business and his practice, and we did a whole bunch of things together, and so I got exposed to psychiatry, and my statement to him early on in our relationship was, there is no such a thing as a good therapy or a bad psychotherapy. You know, there's only a patient who's motivated to be well. And if you get a patient that's motivated to be well, he'll take anything and make it work for him. And that's with people. If you're motivated to be successful at anything, you will be successful. You will find whatever it takes to make you successful.
Yeah.
The key is motivation, it's desire, it's having a passion, it's wanting it badly enough. So that's my shtick.
Well, I hope that you can maybe put that shtick into another article. You suggest you're going to follow up and expand on this theme, and I look forward to receiving that.
Uh-oh, this sounds like maybe this interview is over.
Well, I think we've said enough for today. Let's see what kind of feedback we get, and away we go.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to spot off.
My pleasure.
See you later, Ryan.
Bye, Brad.